Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yeah!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Friday edition of the program. Glad to have you with us. We do this show each weekday at 11 on the Big X. It's complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. And glad you're with us. I want to start with some programming notes. It has been just a crazy week with snow and ice and COVID and basketball and games canceled and moved around. But here's what we've got here on the Big X. And I had a lot of people asking, how can I listen or stay up to date with the big rivalry game tonight, Providence at New Albany? And we'll have the broadcast. We'll be on at 7:10 with our pregame coverage. But before that, in the 6 o'clock hour tonight, you'll be able to hear our girls' regional preview special that aired last night originally. It features Silver Creek and Lanesville, some coaches, their key players, in advance of Saturday's regionals for both teams. And so that will run from 6 o'clock until just before we come on at 7:10. We'll have interviews with both coaches, Miller from Providence, Shannon from New Albany, in our pregame coverage tonight. And then we'll tip things off at the Doghouse at 7:30, and we expect a big crowd. I do know there are some tickets available. New Albany is still on limited attendance of 1,000 tickets that can be in the building, and a lot of those tickets went to season ticket holders this season. But I understand that as of noon, if you want a ticket and you don't have one, there are going to be some that go on sale on a website called TicketSpicket.com. And all you've got to do is search for New Albany, and then you can buy the tickets. Right now, in this 11 o'clock hour, it's restricted. It's only for parents and family and people like that have the code. But as of noon, it will open up to the general public. So I've had a lot of people write in today, want to know how to get a ticket. Are there tickets available? And that's the answer. But listen to us on the Big X as well. If you can't get in or can't make it, we'll have full play-by-play coverage. I expect a pretty nip-and-tuck game. Always seems to be this way when these two teams connect. Probably the big thing for New Albany Providence tonight, to Zach Johnson, who's had a tremendous season for Providence. He's out for a number of weeks, it looks like, with a knee injury for Providence, and that's obviously a big loss for the Pioneers and could have an effect on this game tonight. But still expect a good game. Both teams have had good moments this year. Both teams have had some head-scratching losses, to be quite honest, this season. But both have big hopes and plans as well, and capable teams in their respective sectionals. So this is one of those games late in the year that kind of helps build confidence, maybe propels you into the postseason, the final stretch of the regular season as well. And so, again, we'll have that coverage tonight starting at 7:10 from the Doghouse. Other things this weekend, we have on Saturday Indiana playing a noon tip-off here on the Big X against Ohio State. Of course, lots more on that game coming up today. But because of that, we are going to flip over to WNAS, the New Albany High School station, and air the Silver Creek Girls Regional Semifinal game there. Should be a great game, Silver Creek and Evansville Memorial. I'll be with Brian Sullivan on the call of that game, and we expect to come on the air around 12:50 or so Saturday afternoon and have that tip-off for you around 1:10 or 1:15 from Charlestown. And we'll send out, for those of you that don't know about the New Albany station or don't listen to it on a regular basis, lots of ways to listen, just like here on the Big X. They've got streaming, they've got Tune In, they've got a phone number you can call. We'll put all that information out for those of you that want to keep up with the Lady Dragons tomorrow but maybe cannot go to the game. And then if Silver Creek wins, and let's hope they do, we'll have the championship game from that Charlestown Regional on the Big X Saturday night with pregame coverage beginning around 7:30 and the tip-off in that game set for 8 p.m. on Saturday night. So that's what things look like tonight and Saturday. It's been a crazy week. We've had some things moved and canceled and postponed, and I'm sure with some additional weather I've seen over the last 24 hours that's at least projected, I think, a couple big swings of weather through the area, one early next week and one toward the middle or latter part of the week next week. I have a feeling winter, if it's going to go out soon, is going to go out with a bang. And so we may have some real snow on the ground next week, it looks like, in addition to what we had this week. Glad you're with us today. A quick look at the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines coming up here in just a few moments. The daily Southern Indiana news and headlines brought to you by Zaxby's, our top news and top headlines for the Hoosiers and Southern Indiana sports. Then coming up, Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana. He joins in segment two today. We'll focus on IU, some storylines, discussion heading into Saturday's game against Ohio State. The Buckeyes are really good. This is an opportunity for Indiana to kickstart what could be a really big week for them next week if this team is going to not just make the NCAA tournament, but perhaps I think there's a chance they could get off the bubble. I mean, they're really close, but they've got to get some big wins, and there's going to have to be some unexpected wins for that to happen. And why not start that on Saturday with Ohio State, a big challenge ahead for Indiana. So we'll talk about that with Dylan and a lot more. And then later in the program, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins. With Kyle, we'll talk some high school ball. We'll talk some recruiting. Always plenty to get to with Kyle when he's with us on Fridays each day. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Big news for Trace Jackson Davis yesterday. He's been lauded for so many of these postseason college hoops awards, and he was added to the Naismith Trophy's midseason list, a list of 30 players, included 8 from the Big Ten Conference that are being considered for that award, the top player in college basketball as well. And he's already on the Wooden Award late season watch list, which I think Wooden and Naismith, those are the two big awards for overall best player in college basketball. So no surprise there. Trace Jackson Davis, we were talking yesterday, everything he does for this Indiana team, 19.4 points a game, his average rebounds, almost 10 a game, almost 2 blocks a game as well. Very solid for Indiana, and he's made, no question, a notable difference for this team this season. And as we alluded to earlier in the week with Greg Doyle, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what does Trace Jackson Davis do for next season. There was a point where I think in everyone's mind he was a lock to leave after this sophomore season for the NBA. But as you look at some of the early mock drafts that are out there, some of the early breakdown of players for this year's NBA draft, Trace is, by all accounts, a definite second-round pick. And I'll be honest, in some of the mocks out there, he's been a very way up there in the second round. He's not been a first 10 picks in the second round, and there's been some where he's not in the second round. So more often than not, right now you catch him in the second round somewhere, but it's going to be interesting. Does he take that as advice to not go? I think it's definite that he's going to declare, and it may be still definite that he ultimately goes to the NBA, but he's definitely going to go through the process. I don't think there's any question about that, and he should. He should gather as much information as he can to figure out what he needs to do to ultimately get there and give himself the best opportunity. But I do wonder, this is just me wondering, is there a chance, if he truly is a mid-second rounder or higher, that he comes back to Indiana? And what a difference that can make when you start to look at next season. And one other thing about next season, we talk about the lack of recruits that Indiana has in this 2021 class, just Logan Duncombe from Moeller High School in Cincinnati, and that Indiana's going to be so very active on the transfer market, which is expected to just go bonkers this offseason. But what about the other seniors? Would they come back for an additional year of eligibility that wasn't expected until this pandemic allowed for something like that to happen? So I think a lot of times we start thinking ahead to next season. Trace Jackson Davis, the anchor, when you think about is he going to be there or not be there. I'm curious if there's a chance now he's back, but also who else could be back that we don't expect to return because of the extra year of eligibility, because of the transfer market. I think this Indiana roster, what we think it could look like next year, what we expect it to look like in a traditional situation, it may not be that way at all. It could look completely different. So who knows? But that in the middle of the season, smack dab in the middle of things, we don't think about next year much, and nor should we. But some of those things are going to be very interesting to follow this offseason. Trace, seniors coming back or not coming back. Also, transfer portal. And, of course, you've always got recruiting, which is always unexpected and very interesting to follow as well. One other headline from the Big Ten last night, Marcus Carr led Minnesota single-handedly, basically, to a big win over Purdue, 71-68. Carr had 19 points, which is pretty good for him. He can score a lot more than that. He is a great player in the Big Ten. But he had 8 of his 19 in the final minute of the game against Purdue. And in that final minute, of his 8 points, 2 of them were 3-pointers that helped Minnesota really get the victory. I mean, he was so key in that win last night for Minnesota. And Minnesota turns the tables on Purdue as they win at Minnesota in the barn last night over the Boilermakers, who are ranked number 24 in the country as well. Also, Brad Stevens of the Celtics yesterday, he gets asked a lot about Romeo Langford. Are there any updates? And that's, you know, standard when you've got an NBA player that's out, that's expected to be a starter, not that Romeo is, but expected to get playing time and play a role on the team, which Romeo is that. And there's never any update with Romeo. He's consistently listed on the Boston Celtics list is out for rehab on his right wrist. There's really no details given. But yesterday was a busy Romeo news day because Brad Stevens said that he is doing a lot as far as workouts and rehabilitation go, but he isn't yet playing live in game-like situations yet. Stevens also said that Romeo should be available after the All-Star break. I think the initial projection was that he would be available a couple weeks before or by the All-Star break. So no surprise that things running behind a lot of times in rehabilitations and return for players, that happens. But it does sound like a return for Romeo is getting closer and closer. And also last night, someone sent me a video of him concluding a workout on the court in Boston, on their game court, before their game last night with one of the trainers, and he was going pretty hard. So it sounds like we'll see where Romeo, and he's going to slowly work back into things when he does return to the bench and return to the lineup in some form or fashion. But once he gets back to healthy, we all hope, I think it's going to be interesting this year because Boston with some other injuries and just with Romeo being a year two guy now, I think people expect him to play a role on this team and to get some opportunities to see exactly what kind of NBA player he's going to be and what type of minutes and role with Boston that he could have on a somewhat permanent basis. So sounds like Romeo coming back here after the All-Star break, which is coming up as well. That's a look at our headlines for this Friday edition of the program. Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated still ahead. We'll talk IU and Ohio State in the next segment. We'll also talk to Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. He'll be with us a little bit later in the program. And, of course, tonight on the Big X, we've got a big rivalry game, and that's Providence at New Albany at the Doghouse, 7:10. Our pregame coverage will begin. And also a reminder, if you need a ticket to that game, TicketSpicket.com, TicketSpicket.com, after 12 o'clock, you'll be able to order tickets. They'll be open to the general public. You won't need an access code. I'm told that will go away in the noon hour, and anyone that wants a ticket can buy one of the limited tickets still available for tonight's game. Back with Dylan Wallace. We'll talk IU and Big Challenge coming up on Saturday as they take on Ohio State. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Coming off the double overtime win earlier this week at Northwestern, now the Hoosiers go back on the road for a quick trip to Columbus, Ohio. They'll take on Ohio State, who's ranked number four, number five, depending on which poll you look in, for a big challenge and really a big opportunity for the Hoosiers' NCAA resume. And Dylan, when I look at the next week, Saturday obviously is going to be tough for Indiana. There's no question about that. But it's an opportunity not just to get a win, but an opportunity to have really another resume piece for this team. But regardless of Saturday, it's a big three-game stretch at Ohio State, Minnesota at home, followed by Michigan State at home as well. Indiana really needs to be looking to get those two home games at Assembly Hall next week, and what a better way to kick off that stretch with maybe the opportunity to knock off a surging Ohio State team on Saturday.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a huge opportunity for them. You know, they've played well on the road against good teams this year, and, you know, they've obviously played well against some of the top 25 teams, you know, home and away, I guess, because they took Illinois to overtime at home. They beat Iowa at home, so... you know, it seems like they play up to their competition. They play down to their competition. So I think people are kind of hoping that, you know, they're able to be competitive at least with Ohio State. But, I mean, you hit it, though. I mean, this week is huge. I think you have to take two of these three games. And a lot of people are going to say the two you should take are, you know, Minnesota and Michigan State. Because those are two home games against two teams that, on paper, you know, you should be better than. You should be able to beat both of them. I think Michigan State's won two in a row. They're maybe starting to figure some things out. You know, they could be maybe a little bit dangerous come next Saturday, but still, you know, there's enough on, you know, they don't have enough, I think, guards and enough stability on the roster to where Indiana shouldn't be able to beat them. And then Minnesota's just really, really struggled on the road. I don't know if they've won a road game yet this season. I think all their wins have come at home. They just beat Purdue last night, which helps Indiana in the Big Ten standings, actually. You know, Rutgers and Purdue both lost this week. And all of a sudden, you know, Rutgers 7-7, Purdue's got a sixth loss, and IU 6-6. So, I mean, they're a couple wins away from kind of just sneaking up into those standings for somehow, some way. You know, if you look at it, it's kind of interesting to see how that plays out. But in terms of, you know, their resume, you know, going 2-1 in this next three-game stretch is absolutely huge for this team.
Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana, my guest. Dylan, you cover the team as much as anyone we have on this program. And as crazy as it sounds, and maybe people don't think this is crazy at all, but I don't have any question that Indiana can play with Ohio State. I have questions that Indiana can get off to a reasonable start and not just come out and brick everything. I have questions if Indiana is in the game and it's a competitive contest. Which I think, again, many reasons to believe it could be. Indiana down the stretch, you question their ability to finish games, and you question senior leadership at times down the stretch. But despite all of the losses and how they've happened, and despite some of the wins as well that this team has had, like Iowa twice and even going on the road and just barely getting by a Northwestern team that's just not very good and is having lots of their very own struggles, have now lost 10 in a row, I still, any game on the schedule, I don't feel like Indiana can't compete or can't be there, or even if they don't play near their best, can't be in the game. Do you have that same feeling no matter who it is that Indiana's going against? You can never count this group out. I think that's one thing they have proven this season.
Yeah. There's one thing they've shown. It's that we really don't know what to expect from them game to game. You know, that's you could see it as a bad thing, which it sometimes is, but on the other hand, it's a good thing. You know, you can't necessarily go into Saturday and tomorrow at noon and be like they're going to get blown out, because you don't know. I mean, they could come out and be really, really sharp, really on point. I will say if they come out like they do against Northwestern, you know, you're not coming back against Ohio State winning that game. If you start out like that sluggish, you know, executing that poorly, not hitting anything, you're not going to come back and win that game like you were able to do against Northwestern. So that's a huge thing, getting off to a big start, which I'm sure they're going to emphasize. You know, you just can't afford to do that against a team like Ohio State. Ohio State's an interesting team. I've watched a lot of them this year, and they're kind of really fun to watch. I mean, they don't have like one guy that might like jump out of the page at you. I mean, EJ Liddell is kind of their, you know, the cog in the machine on offense. But I mean, they have just so many kind of fun pieces. You know, Kyle Young is essentially like Ohio State's Race Thompson, kind of like a glue guy who does a lot of the little things. And then, you know, their guards, you know, Dwayne Washington and C.J. Walker, like these, and Kyle Arns, I mean, those guys can shoot the ball really well, and it's going to be one of those things where, you know, Indiana's guards are going to have to be out on shooters every single possession, every single time, because if you let them get going, things sort of spiral out of control. I mean, I remember when Ohio State beat Iowa, I mean, they scored 10 points in about a minute and a half, super quick stretch, just, you know, nailing threes, like, back-to-back. So, you know, it's going to be a big emphasis is kind of staying on those shooters. And I think Trace and Race can handle Kyle Young and E.J. Liddell alone in the paint. I don't know. I mean, we'll see kind of what the game plan is. But I think those two, you know, those four front court players kind of cancel each other out. So, I mean, what a surprise. I'm saying it's going to come down to guard play again. And, you know, Al Durham and Armon Franklin had, you know, had amazing games at the end there against Northwestern. So, you know, you got to hope that they kind of come out ready to go and with the same kind of offensive production they had on Wednesday. But there's no reason, I think, to count this team out necessarily against Ohio State. I mean, you know, Indiana does still have a really good defense, which can keep them in games as long as they're engaged. And then offensively, you know, it's just going to come down to, are, do you come out sleepy? Can you come out sharp? Can you come out ready to go? Can you get Trace Jackson Davis involved? You know, that's going to be a big thing. You know, Ohio State's kind of physical on the inside. I mean, he sometimes has struggles with that a little bit, but if you can get him going, if the guards are going to knock down some shots early, I mean, yeah, I think they can hang with the Buckeyes tomorrow, which is it's going to be a good sight to see, because obviously, you know, they're a top five team for a reason. They're probably the hottest team in the Big Ten right now, maybe in college basketball. They're playing really, really well. So it's going to be a good test for Indiana to kind of see where they're at. I know Archie Miller has said earlier this year, like, we think we can play with anybody in the Big Ten. Is, you know, and I think, you know, some Indiana fans probably think that, some probably don't, but it's just a matter of kind of if they come ready to play. I mean, that's the biggest thing. You have to come ready to play. You can't start out the way you did against Northwestern or else it'll be game over.
Talking to Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana, I want to talk more about Ohio State. Chris Holtmann and Archie Miller entered the Big Ten at the same time. Of course, people here in Indiana that follow college hoops closely, familiar with Coach Holtmann from his time at Butler and his rise within that program. But he really has come in multiple years since he's been there with Ohio State teams. I can remember a few years back. I can't remember the specifics, but I do know the Musa Jallo from Bloomington North was just getting to Ohio State at this time, if that helps date this better than what I can. But I remember they were limited on scholarship players because of injuries and transfers and different situations. It was kind of a crazy story. And even that year, he made them competitive, and they had some good moments and had some runs and wins that you didn't expect them to have. And again, this year, Ohio State never was a team that any of us in the Big Ten were talking about as being in that top group of teams. It was all about Iowa. It was all about Illinois. There was even talk, more about Rutgers coming into the season than there was Ohio State. But once again, here Ohio State is in a good place in the conference. You mentioned it's maybe the hottest team in college basketball at this moment. I saw they were projected to be a number one seed by Andy Bottoms earlier this week. Who knows if that holds true or not. But point is, they're playing some good basketball, and Chris Holtmann in his time at Ohio State is continuously finding a way to get this Ohio State team in the conversation.
Yeah, he's done a really, really, really good job. And, you know, I'll be the first to admit, when they were ranked preseason top 25, I was like, why are they ranked? Like, I looked, you know, because I remember the team from last year, and I remember kind of who was coming back, and I was just like, why is this team ranked in the top 25? You know, I don't get it. And, you know, they started out conference play a little sluggish. You know, they lost to Purdue once or twice. They actually lost to Purdue, lost some other teams. I'm still like, I'm not buying into this team. And all of a sudden, you know, the last month or so, you know, I've watched their games, and I've been sitting back and I'd be like, oh my gosh, like, this team is really, really good. I mean, just I mentioned, you know, their players kind of in the last question, just who they have and the weapons they got. And it's just impressive to kind of watch how Chris Holtmann does this every year. I mean, he came to Ohio State the same time that I think Archie came to IU, and Chris Holtmann's made the tournament every single year. You know, last year they were definitely going to get in, and there obviously wasn't a tournament, but, you know, he's gotten to the NCAA tournament every season that he's been there. So that's a really impressive feat, especially because, as you said, I mean, they didn't have necessarily the pieces. He didn't fall into a great situation. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't, you know, anything spectacular. You know, they had the Wesson brothers, who were really good. They had a couple of other really good players, Kadabate Diop, you know, some of those guys that, you know, kind of made it to the NBA. You know, today some good players, and he's just done a really, really good job. And it's been kind of they've been a team that's just like they haven't gotten necessarily the big time attention over the last couple of years, but they're always kind of in the mix. They always get to the tournament. I think they've gotten to the second round the first 2 years he was there as well, the second game. So I mean they've had a lot of success under Chris Holtmann, and I remember being in Columbus last year for the game and just being able to talk to those. You know, we usually get to talk to the away guys because they usually hold the press conferences in the same area in away games, and being able to kind of just like sit there and listen to Chris Holtmann talk. I was like, man, this seems like a really cool guy. I kind of like this dude. And just the job he's done has been really impressive, and this year's no different. I mean, they have really taken over. I mean, man, they're number four in the country. You know, they're a top five team, no matter how you look at it. And it's just really, really impressive to see. And I mean, you know, we haven't seen Michigan play in a few weeks, and who knows what they're going to look like when they come back. But right now, I mean, there's nothing to stop anyone from saying that Ohio State's the best team in the Big Ten right now.
Talking with Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana in advance of IU-Ohio State coming up on Saturday, noon tip-off for that game as well, which means pregame coverage with Don Fisher, including his pregame chat with Archie Miller, scheduled for the 11 a.m. hour. Last night in Big Ten action, Dylan, Minnesota got some revenge on Purdue, and I just want to mention this for a brief minute as we transition to some other IU stuff, but how about Marcus Carr, 2 3-pointers, 8 total points in the final minute of the game to almost single-handedly push the Gophers to a big home win at the Barn?
Yeah, that was huge. I was watching that game, and man, I've seen Marcus Carr do that a lot this season. He did it a few times in the non-conference slate. Kind of step back threes to end the game. He did it early on in Big Ten play. He is, you know, I mean, Ayo Dosunmu's probably the best guard in the Big Ten, but Marcus Carr is definitely the second best guard in the Big Ten. I mean, I don't know. People don't talk about Minnesota a whole lot. You know, they're kind of up and down. They can't really win on the road. But Marcus Carr is just a really good player, and he was last year as well. I mean, Daniel Turu kind of got the majority of the attention from that team. But you know, he was a really solid guy last year, and this year, I mean, he's just their closer. And they were down six. You know, not a lot of time left. It didn't look like they were going to be able to come away with a win in that game. But you know, he hit those big 3-pointers, and you know, they got a travel on Travion Williams, and you know, Gabe Talisher knocks down 2 free throws, and you know, Purdue can't really drop a good play to get, which is surprising because Matt Penn is usually good at that. But you know, they couldn't really get a good shot off at the end there to try to tie it. And you know, Minnesota got a huge win, and it's huge for Indiana as well because they're still ahead of Minnesota in the standings. And now Purdue has the same amount of losses in Indiana. So you know, you're looking ahead to the game of West Lafayette between those two, and like, hey, you know, can we finally beat them? But yeah, I mean, Marcus Carr is just a really good player, and in Minnesota, you know, they can be sneaky good sometimes, you know, and that's why I think Indiana's got to be careful when they get them coming up on, I think, Wednesday in Assembly Hall. Because, again, I mean, we've talked about it time and time again, just the Big Ten, you're never going to have an easy win. And, you know, sometimes it'll be really ugly like it was Wednesday against Northwestern. Sometimes it won't be. But, yeah, that was a big win for Minnesota. It really helped them as well because, you know, Purdue was ranked, you know, that's a top 25 win. If you look at it, Purdue was still in the top 25 this week. They were 24. So that'll help them as well. You know, they were starting to kind of slide off because they had a lot of road games and they were losing. So that'll help them in the kind of cementing their kind of resume to get in the tournament as well.
Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana, my guest. He's always with me Fridays as we talk IU basketball and more. When we look at this Indiana team, and we talked about Ohio State being a surprise in the Big Ten, but when we look at Indiana, you know, my goodness, Armon Franklin has been really good, very consistent. Now he's had the ankle injury, which has been a concern, and it sounds like that could be something that even as he returns to play, and he sure played fine the other night, but maybe not the normal Armon. But that ankle could be something, the way it was injured and re-injured a few times, it could stick with him here for a while. But he really has had a great season. And when you think about Trace Jackson Davis and all that he does for the team, unless I'm missing something, as far as consistency, whether it's hitting a big shot, whether it's not turning the ball over, whether it's making a big play, Armon is very good, very consistent for this team. He might be next to Trace Jackson Davis, I think, as far as most important players for this team. Did you have a sense of that and what he could maybe do this year heading into the year? or has this completely caught you off guard? Because I think I felt like Armand was maybe a starter, maybe a six-man type player, but I'm not sure that I ever thought we would say he's number two, at least right now, next to Trace Jackson Davis.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I remember before the season started, I was on the show and you asked me kind of breakout candidates. And I think I listed like Race Thompson as my number one, which I think still is maybe true. And, you know, Jerome Hunter, I think I mentioned as well. And I remember after the phone call was over, in my head, I thought about, like, why in the world did I not say Armand Franklin's name? Because I'm not going to say I called it because I didn't imagine this. He was going to be this good. But I just think from what we saw last year to this year, I think he was going to be a little bit better. But no, I mean, I didn't expect him to be this good, this improved. And I mean, he's been, I think you could point to the player that has developed the most under Archie Miller, honestly, and since he's been here. I mean, the way he's been able to kind of just, you know, improve his ball handling, improve kind of, you know, creating his own shot, improve just his 3-point shot in general. I remember last year, you know, he had a few kind of, you know, good shooting games in Baker's life, but other than that, I mean, he was like 2 of 20 or something from three. Like, he was not being able to knock anything down. And this year, he might be Indiana's best 3-point shooter, or, you know, the second best behind Al. I mean, he's just you know, kind of determined to get better and to work. And I think Indiana fans kind of love his attitude, and he obviously cares about winning. And it's really just fun to kind of watch his determination on the floor, game in and game out, even with kind of a hurt ankle as well. You know, we were able to talk to him, I think, before Northwestern or maybe a week before that. And he just, someone kind of asked him about his ankle, and he was just like, yeah, I mean, you know, it hurts kind of when I'm not moving around for a while. But he's like, well, once I'm in the game, like, it's not even in my head. Like, I don't feel anything. I'm just playing hard. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, Indiana fans are going to love to hear that from this guy. I mean, he is really kind of took it upon himself to become a really good player, and Indiana's, you know, as you mentioned, probably second most important player, and he's a really good defender as well. And you know, he defended Joe's Wieskamp, he defended Io Dosunmu really well. I mean, this guy is really doing it all for Indiana right now, and it's going to make you excited for the future. You know, who knows if Trace Jackson Davis will be back or not? You know, probably not. But you know, the fact that you know you're going to have Armand Franklin for the next 2 years, I mean, that's a really exciting sign for this program. And a really exciting thing that, you know, you're starting to see players, you know, develop a little bit under Archie Miller, because I know that was sort of a concern, you know, the last couple of years. So, you know, he's been great. He's been amazing this year, and they're really going to need him going forward. And I think he's kind of the one closer. You know, we saw it against Iowa, and I think he's the guy that Indiana wants, you know, the ball in his hands. And, you know, it was even in his hands against Northwestern under the first overtime, but, you know, they doubled him, and he got it to Al and knocked down that shot. So, no, he's just been huge for them, and you know, I didn't see it coming to this level. You know, I thought he'd be a little bit better, but man, I mean, he is, credit to him and the work that he's put in this, and especially in a really weird offseason too. You know, you couldn't do as much as you probably hoped to do, but man, I mean, he got better, and it's been really fun to watch kind of his development and him become a really like a star at Indiana right now.
Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana, with us on Fridays. You can read his coverage of the Hoosiers at si.com/college/Indiana. And Dylan, as always, great work, and thanks for the insight in advance of Saturday's big one. And really a big week for the Hoosiers with those two home games next week. We'll talk with you after that concludes, or I guess right in the middle of that, and see how things are unfolding in the big week next week.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
All right, Dylan Wallace with us as we head to commercial break here on this Friday program. One segment left. We'll have Kyle Nedrip of the Indianapolis Star with us. We'll talk some basketball, some recruiting, some high school stuff. The tournament draw coming up a week from Sunday. Wow, hard to believe that we are that far into things here as we approach the middle of February. And, of course, March Madness just around the corner as well. And it's all going to be played here in the Hoosier state of Indiana. Exciting times ahead. Kyle Nedrip is next. Don't forget tonight, New Albany, Providence, 7:10. Our pregame coverage begins here on the Big X and streaming online, streaming on our app as well. Hope that you'll join us for that contest. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Friday segment to wrap things up. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star always with me to talk some hoops, recruiting, and, of course, high school basketball as well here in this segment. And, Kyle, we are moving through the girls' tournament. The regionals are set for this weekend. And I'm sure from a statewide perspective, when you think of Southern Indiana and girls' basketball, it's probably Silver Creek at the top of the list as far as local teams with big reputations to fill as the tournament unfolds. But some great games across our area here in Southern Indiana, but really across the state scheduled for Saturday. And I love the regional format. It's one of my favorite weekends of the year. You get the morning semifinal games, the afternoon semifinal games, whatever you want to say. And then, of course, back at night for the championships. Two games, one day, lots of drama, lots of fun, and glad it's set to unfold tomorrow for the girls.
Yeah, it should be a fun day of basketball, and I agree with you. It's kind of a, you know, you don't get to see that format very much anymore unless you're at a, you know, a holiday tournament or you're basically the regional, and it's kind of set up like the Hall of Fame is similar to that as well. And I hear a lot of coaches talk about, you know, playing in that kind of, you know, gets your mindset maybe prepared for what a regional will be like. And it's kind of unlike any other day on the calendar. And, you know, you get to see a couple games in the morning if you're a fan and if you're allowed to go to the games. And I think there's more fans allowed now than there has been at any point in the season. But yeah, so you get to, you know, maybe go get something to eat, come back for the later game, and makes for a good fun day of basketball. And I have a lot of great memories of covering regionals throughout the years. And, you know, you never know quite, you know, I think sometimes those morning games are weird games. You know, it's, you know, you don't see that time of day, you know, for one, very often, unless it is a holiday tournament or something like that. And I think it creates some, you know, interesting, you know, games in the morning. But yeah, it should be a fun day. I know there's a lot of good teams around here locally. You know, North Central is probably the team to beat around here, but they have to play a pretty good Brownsburg team that's coming on, and then Roncalli or Mount Vernon in the night game. Two programs that are always really good. So a lot of the same names and you know, teams that are always good. You know, Bedford North Lawrence is, you know, obviously still alive, and you know, Noblesville on the north side of the bracket here locally has got a really good young team. You know, so a lot of good stories come out of the regional. Hamilton Heights around here is really good this year. Good young team as well. I had a chance to see Indian Creek last week in the sectional, and they have a couple of freshmen who are really good. So good class of you know, freshmen around here, and you know, I think it's going to be, you know, a really good day of basketball. Like you mentioned, Silver Creek off to a great start to their tournament run already, and probably the favorite down there in their regional tomorrow. So you know, looking forward to seeing the results from the early games and see what the matchups are tomorrow night.
Most definitely. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, my guest. This is looking way ahead. We still got the boys' draw and the boys' tournament, but you had a little piece earlier in the week that the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Games, which were postponed for the first time since one of the World Wars back some years ago, is being thought that very likely going to be played again this year, despite the pandemic continuing. So that's good news. That's a tradition that, you know, from a Kentucky side, you and I have discussed this many, many times. I'm not sure that it means what it once did, but it's still one of those long-standing traditions with basketball in our state, and it's kind of the final go-around for some of these great players we have before they go off to college to represent their different schools to still play high school hoops and to still play in the state. And so glad to see that Mike Broughton, former Jeff coach, who's now the organizer from the Indiana side for the Indiana All-Stars operation, is making plans to move forward.
Yeah, I had a chance to talk to Mike. I think it was on Wednesday or Tuesday this week, and you know, talked about a lot of things, but you know, wanted to ask him about that in particular on, you know, kind of what the plans were for the All-Star game. And I know they were planning to move forward. I was just kind of making sure, you know, everything was still on track, and it is. They're going to play Planning to play at Southport in the home game again as Bankers Life. They'll be undergoing their second part of their renovations during the, you know, pretty much once the, you know, the spring, probably getting to April to, you know, whenever the next basketball season starts. So, you know, they're moving forward. There are going to be games there, of course, for the NCAA tournament and whatnot, and they have their first phase of renovations done. But, you know, the plan is to play at Southport, and then, you know, it's kind of TBA on the Kentucky side as far as, you know, where they're going to play. You know, and then there's still a lot of other plans as far as, you know, where the junior game will be played, you know, what the format will be for that exactly, you know, and kind of what the, you know, the coaching staff situation will be. You know, will there be, you know, the same coaches from last year since they didn't get a coach? I kind of think that's probably the direction they will go. You know, and then the ballots for Miss Basketball will be sent out here, I think, either today or early next week. So, you know, that's sort of ongoing as well with the girls All-Stars and the girls Miss Basketball voting. So, you know, everything's kind of proceeding. I know they're looking for, you know, more sponsorships and funding. Because last year, you know, when you take a year out of it, it kind of, you have to restart that, you know, in some regard. So, you know, I know they're looking for, you know, for some sponsorships that way. But the plan's to move forward, and, you know, I think they will. I don't think there's any question that there will be games this year. You know, I think we're getting into a better place as far as what crowds look like, and I think by June we'll be, you know, even in a better place with that. So, you know, the plans to move forward, and, you know, looking forward to, you know, being back out and covering it again, you know, this year. And, you know, and we talked a little bit too, and it wasn't necessarily anything I put in there, but, you know, it was a year where, you know, it probably, you know, looks bad that you don't have a game, but I think everybody understands there was nothing going on at that time either. So, you know, I don't think it's any kind of black eye that you didn't play the games last year. It was just, you know, it just wasn't possible, you know, at that time. So, you know, I hope, and I think Mike hopes that, you know, people don't think, you know, that was, you know, any status of where the game sits. It was just a totally pandemic related situation, and they're hoping to get back to playing this year and moving forward the next few years too.
Talking with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, had a question come in for you during our segment. I want to bring this up now. Indiana landed C.J. Gunn last Sunday, which wasn't a complete surprise. I think a lot of people, including you, thought the Hoosiers would be a make-sense destination for him. Now that he's in the fold for Indiana, I know there's so much up in the air, too, as I ask this, with next year. Do seniors come back in college? How active is Indiana in the grad transfer market and just the transfer portal as a whole? And there, you know, Trace Jackson Davis, even we talked some about that earlier today. Does he come back for sure? If he's not even a guaranteed second round pick, who knows? But who would be next, or who are some other names in that 2022 class that Indiana is or could be involved with from a recruiting perspective? That maybe the next in-state prospect that Indiana should consider or is considering.
Yeah, I've heard from a lot of people too about you know, not only that, but you know, kind of where, you know, how C.J. Gunn fits in, and you know, and that sort of thing. I think there's a lot of you know, sort of apprehension, I would say, about, you know, in-state shooting and guys who are coming in the program and that sort of thing. And I think you just have to be, you know, I know it's easy to say this, but you got to be a little bit patient, you know, with players as they progress and understand, you know, guys who come into the program aren't ready-made players, and we're kind of in a microwave era a little bit too with that. And you know, I think CJ's a guy, I think he's even you know, talking to him, he compared himself to Armon Franklin somewhat, and maybe what his progression could look like. And so I, you know, just to throw that out there, I think that's a, you know, I think he will be a really good player at the college level. I don't know if he'll be the, you know, he'll be doing what Armand's doing this year when he first gets there, but I think that projection, you know, could be somewhat similar. So, you know, just anyway, that was just a thought that I had as, you know, people talk about C.J. Gunn. But, you know, that 2022 class, I would say, you know, you already have one commitment, you know, in Tay Davis, who went to Louisville, followed his brother there. He's probably one of the top, you know, top five players in the state, I would say, from Warren Central. So he's off the board. And then I think if you look at the very top is probably Jalen Washington from Gary Westside. You know, what's he going to be looking at? He's got a lot of offers, including IU, Purdue. You know, Louisville, I know several others just offhand that have offered him. So he'll be a big national recruit coming off a knee injury. So there's some question about how, you know, how he'll look, you know, once he's fully, you know, he is recovered, but just as he gets more, you know, well-conditioned and things like that. You know, also in the state, you know, Fletcher Lawyer is committed to Purdue. So that's another one off the board. I think a great get for Purdue, by the way. I think he's going to be an excellent player at the next level. So then you kind of go down to, you know, what is, you know, does IU offer a guy like Leland Walker from North Central? You know, there's guys out there like, you know, Will Lovings-Watts from Jeff, Braden Smith from Westfield. You know, there's Connor Essigan from Central Noble, who I have not seen play in person. I would love to. I think he's getting some, you know, mid-major attention already. But from, you know, things I've seen and people I've talked to, I think he may end up higher than that. So he's a really good athlete and a really good shooter. So there's guys out there is what I'm saying. I don't know if, you know, how many of those guys rise to the level of playing at IU necessarily, but it is a good class. It's a pretty deep class, I think. Maybe not quite as deep as 2021, but there's definitely some names out there, I think, that could emerge in that class. You know, you look at a guy like Charlie Williams at Carmel, who's 6'10" and can shoot. You know, what does his projection look like in the next year? You know, he's a guy maybe to keep an eye on. Or, you know, Julian Norris from Evansville-Bossy, you know, he's another one that you wonder what his projection looks like. He's got mid-major offers already. So, you know, there's a lot of guys out there. Pete Suter from Carmel, you know, I think he's a total winner. You know, I don't know where he'll end up going, but, man, he just plays so hard and kind of similar to like a Trey Galloway type, in my opinion, you know, in what he can do for you. So a lot of guys out there. It's just I don't think there's any kind of slam dunks right now that they're going to get next in the state, but there are some good you know, I think some guys to keep an eye on that I mentioned.
Kyle Nedrip of the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, enjoy girls' regional weekend. We've got the tournament draw coming up in just about a week and a very fun time here in our state. Appreciate all your insight.
Absolutely. Have a good weekend, Matt.
All right. Kyle Nedrip with us on Fridays. That's going to wrap things up for this program. Couple notes. We've got Providence, New Albany coming up 7:10 tonight. Our pregame coverage begins. Before that, in the 6 o'clock hour, a replay of our girls' regional preview show. And also, stay with us if you're interested. Remember the bill I spoke about in Kentucky that giving players an extra year for academics and athletics if they're not 19 by the cutoff date that the KHSA has? Well, I've got an interview with the state senator from Kentucky, Max Wise. And even though this show is ending, we're going to have that interview coming up for you next here on the Big X. Have a great weekend. Lots of stuff tonight. IU this weekend. We'll be back on Monday to talk about it all. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.